3 days after the Wisconsin Supreme Court decided not to take up a case challenging the legality of using drop boxes for ballots during an election, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WIL, filed its own suit on behalf of two voters asking our courts to do the same. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And this suit would reportedly not only end the use of ballot drop boxes, but would also prohibit voters from allowing anyone else to return an absentee ballot, their absentee ballot. So what do you want to know about your right to vote in Wisconsin? Do you find our elections to be safe and fair? And what about the problems this lawsuit might solve? And do you see as any potential consequences or side effects of this latest legal action from WIL? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to join our conversation. You can also email us, ideas@WPR.org. Our guest is the President and General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Rick Essenberg. Rick, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you for having me.
As mentioned, this lawsuit from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty came 3 days after the Wisconsin State Supreme Court decided not to take up the FABIC case about ballot drop boxes. Why did you file this suit? Was it in response to the Supreme Court's lack of action?
Well, I think this issue needs to be resolved. This issue first arose immediately after the 2020 election, when it was raised by the Trump campaign. It was raised as a number of issues that they brought before the courts, and they claimed that Wisconsin municipal clerks had not followed the law with respect to how absentee ballots are to be delivered. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court refused to resolve that claim. They invoked what is called the doctrine of latches, and they said, "Look, if you had a problem with what the clerks were doing, you should have brought that case prior to the election. For us to determine whether these votes were lawful after the election, when the clerks thought they were, would be fundamentally unfair." And I have a great deal of sympathy for that provision. These questions should be resolved in the odd numbered years. We shouldn't be trying to get clarification for voters during the middle of an election or in the immediate aftermath of an election. So we brought this case to have this issue resolved prior to the voting so that municipal clerks and voters would know what is permitted and what is not permitted.
And Rick, what specifically is the issue that this lawsuit seeks to resolve?
Well, the issue is this. In Wisconsin, we all have a right to vote. The legislature has long made clear that it will allow for absentee voting, but that absentee voting is not a right, it's a privilege, and that the processes that must be followed in order for absentee voting to take place must be rigorously followed. And it's not hard to imagine the reason for that. When we have absentee voting, we take the voting process outside of the supervision of municipal officials. So it's important for us to have safeguards in place so that we can be sure that absentee ballots will be counted. We can be sure that there won't be any wrongdoing taking place. And one of the things that the legislature has done is it has said that there are two ways to return a ballot. One is that you may place the ballot in the United States mail. The legislature has decided it believes the United States mail is sufficiently secure to permit this to be a way by which absentee ballots are returned. Or you can return it to the office of the municipal clerk. That is, the voter himself, and it says the voter, returns the ballot to the municipal clerk. That way, having this process of returning the ballot come under the supervision of municipal officials. It does not provide for handing the ballot to somebody else and having that somebody else return the ballot to the municipal clerk. It does not provide for drop boxes. And so the question is, is that reading the law correct? And I think it is. And the question is, are we going to follow that law in the way that we conduct our election? Now, the issue in the case is not whether you like drop boxes, not whether you like what is sometimes called ballot harvesting. It has nothing to do with this case. If these are things that you like, then your recourse is to go to the legislature and have them provide for those things. But if they are not provided for in the law, then they may not take place.
Rick Essenberg is our guest, President and General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. And if you have questions, our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. So is there, under your lawsuit, if affirmed, Rick, is there any way that a ballot box could be used correctly for an election by a municipality?
No, I don't think so. There is a provision in the law for the legislature to designate an alternate site other than the clerk's office. To be used instead, not in addition, but instead for the receipt of ballots. But again, this would have to be staffed by the municipal clerk or their authorized representatives. A drop box is not staffed. It cannot be, you know, designated as a person to receive ballots. So, no, I don't think that it could be used. I think if we want to have drop boxes, if we think that's a reasonable thing to do, then the recourse is to have the legislature provide for drop boxes. And if the legislature did that, presumably it would do it in a way that ensured the use of drop boxes was even-handed, right? Because one of the concerns that people had with drop boxes is that there were a lot of them in densely populated areas where municipal governments, you know, have a lot of different facilities. And so there are many more places for drop boxes to be placed, and that this disadvantaged rural communities. And the second problem is security, right? Should the drop box be unsupervised? What are the procedures for receiving and logging in ballots from the drop box? None of that was specified in the law because drop boxes are not allowed for in the law. And so if we went back and we had the legislature enact the provision for drop boxes, as has happened in some states which have passed election reform bills, including those that are, you know, generally attacked by folks as being, you know, exercises in voter suppression. Well, you know, oftentimes what they're doing is that they are providing for drop boxes when drop boxes had not been provided for in the past and had simply been used without authorization in the law during the 2020 election, as they were in Wisconsin.
Let's go to the phones here. Jason in Watertown, you're on the Ideas Network with the President and General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, Rick Essenberg. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I have to say I'm a little confused about the question of drop boxes, as in you say that it's legal and all that to drop a ballot in the mail. Well, mailboxes are not guarded. Mailboxes aren't watched. What's wrong with the drop boxes? It would be the same thing, wouldn't it?
Rick, Jason raises a point that my mailbox probably is no more is much less secure than a ballot drop box.
Well, again, that would be a great argument for Jason to make to the Wisconsin legislature if he wanted the Wisconsin legislature to authorize drop boxes. But the problem that Jason has is that the Wisconsin legislature doesn't agree with him. The Wisconsin legislature, and this isn't recent. This has been in the law for a long time. The Wisconsin legislature has said, no, we don't believe that. We believe that you either return the ballot to the municipal clerk or you place it in the United States mail. And I think that the reason that the legislature said that with respect to the United States mail is the Postal Service has a long record of maintaining security within the mail. I mean, it has figured out pretty well how to keep mailboxes secure. It has figured out pretty well how to make sure that things get to where they're going. Now, that may be a wrong judgment by the legislature, right? The legislature may be being too restrictive. It may be being too permissive in allowing you to return a ballot by mail, and that's a debate we can have.
But you're saying this is action that the legislature should take, but this is now in...
When we're talking about cases in court, but the question is not, we don't go to the judge and we say, gee, what do we think, how do we think we should handle this? That's not how judges look at this. Judges must look at this by saying, look, what does the law provide for? If the law provides for drop boxes, then we can have drop boxes, even if that particular judge thinks it's a bad idea, and if it really is a bad idea.
Rick, hold there, please. That's the president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Their latest lawsuit is seeking to end the use of ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin elections, as well as allowing others to return an absentee ballot on your behalf. What do you think of this latest legal action at 1-800-642-1234? We'll continue with Rick Essenberg and your calls. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Our guest has filed suit asking for clarification from our legislature. And while our legislature may not be clear on the way we've legislation may not be clear on the way we vote, the attorneys for our legislators may have a little more definition. Before last year's election, attorneys for Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and then Republican State Senate Majority Leader, now Congressman Scott Fitzgerald, sent a letter to Madison City Clerk explaining why they believe the city's Democracy in the Park events were illegal. Part of their argument explicitly acknowledged and accepted ballot drop boxes as a viable and legal alternative. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and our guest says that state law is clear. There are only two legal methods for casting an absentee ballot, and drop boxes fail to meet either definition. Will this lawsuit pave the way for a better democracy? If so, tell us how. And if not, please explain. 1-800-642-1234 is our phone number. Our guest is the president and general counsel at the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WIL, Rick Essenberg. And Rick, 500 drop boxes were used in this, across the state in the 2020 election. Is there evidence that these ballots returned via the drop boxes were counted or not counted, tampered in any way? Do you have any suspicions about the 2020 election?
Well, let me clarify something. We haven't asked the legislature to do anything. We're asking the courts to make sure that municipal clerks follow the law in 2022. If someone else wants to go to the legislature and ask them to provide for drop boxes, they can do that. We don't have a particular position on that at this time. With respect to the 2020 election, there would be no way to know if there was any particular concern about drop boxes because municipalities were wildly inconsistent with how they treated drop boxes. Sometimes they kept records of what ballots were collected from drop boxes, and sometimes they didn't. And so, you know, the way that you would attempt to identify a potential problem, wouldn't prove a problem, but it would be a potential problem if you had some type of anomalous spike in votes, or if you were able to look at the ballots that were put in drop boxes and determine if, whether or not there was some reason to be suspicious of where they came from. But we can't do that because municipal clerks did not consistently distinguish between, you know, ballots that were returned in what we believe is a legal way and ballots that returned to drop boxes. A Democracy in the Park is a perfect example of that. My recollection is that I think Speaker Voss or the Republican Party, I can't remember who, asked the city of Madison to keep those ballots separate so we would know what ballots came from Democracy in the Park so that we could look and we could see if they were just fine or whether there was a problem there. But the city of Madison declined to do that. They intermixed those ballots with everything else, so nobody can really evaluate the situation. You know, the problem is not, and I have not claimed, and I don't claim, that, you know, the 2020 election was stolen or there was, any particular level of fraud in the 2020 election. What I am saying is that it makes sense for us to have a system which has proper safeguards in place, and whatever we think those safeguards should be and whatever we think those rules should be, it is important for us to follow the law, because that's the only way that we can have elections in which people have confidence in the outcome. If we make it up as we go along, if we change the law, we do things that aren't provided for in the law, even if they're good ideas, even if we think at the time they're good ideas, you know, they will sometimes be perceived as having a partisan impact, and confidence in the election are will be undercut. An election is contest. There are two sides in an election, and one of the ways that you make you get two sides to accept the outcome is you follow the rules that have been agreed upon beforehand.
But as I understand it, Rick, the municipal clerks across the state have said this was a safe and secure vote. They didn't find any irregularities or spikes or anything that would be anomalous.
Again, as I said, there's no way to do it because the records weren't kept. But again, in terms of this lawsuit, that doesn't really matter. What matters is whether we followed the law. If we want to change the law, there's a process by which we do that. And I know that this is an antiquated notion nowadays, where people feel that, you know, we should elect a president, whether he be Donald Trump or whether he be Joe Biden, and that president just should, or a governor, and that president or governor just should be able to change the law however they want and however we think it might be okay to do that. Well, that's not how our system works.
Let's take a phone call here, Rick, if we can. Let's go to Carolyn in Madison. You're on with Rick Eisenberg, the president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Good morning.
Hello. A vote is counted by no matter where the ballot comes from. It's got to match the signature and address of the voter. And a poll worker was telling me that there should be no challenges to the voting system unless the person challenging volunteers to be part of an election, volunteers at the polls for, just to see how well they police that simple measure, no matter where the ballot comes from.
Carolyn, thank you. Other reaction here this morning, Rick, in response to the lawsuit, Disability Rights Wisconsin told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel they support an expansion of secure, accessible absentee drop boxes to allow for increased participation of voters with disabilities and other Wisconsin voters. You see how limited ballot drop boxes could create a barrier for some voters in Wisconsin?
Well, if in fact they're right about that, and again, I express no opinion on that, then the remedy is to go to the legislature. And, you know, they say that they want secure and accessible drop boxes. One of the things that would happen if we followed the law and, you know, we said, look, we're not going to have these unless the legislature specifically provides for them, is that, you know, the legislature would at that point be able to address what needs to be done in order to make those drop boxes secure and accessible. And there have been proposals that would do just that. But right now what we have is sort of the wild, wild west, where clerks do it or they don't do it. Some of them have drop boxes, some of them don't. Some of them may have provisions for their security, some of them may not. And the problem is that this is what happens. We don't follow the law as it is written, and we kind of make things up as we go along. And so all we're asking is that the law as it's written be followed.
Well, Rick, the states...
That certainly is an avenue that's open to them.
Well, as you bring that up, the state Senate recently passed a bill that appears to be in sync with your legal challenge. This bill allows municipalities to have drive-up ballot drop boxes if they are secured and surveilled. If it becomes law, municipalities with a population of at least 70,000 would be allowed up to 3 additional drop boxes on municipal property, but not in public parks like the Democracy in the Park from Madison. What's your take on this bill, Rick?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, that's the way that we should do this. Now, they've decided that they don't want to have an event like Democracy in the Park, and I can understand why they might not want to have that. Democracy in the Park, this was an event where you brought a lot of people, you deputized a bunch of people who may be partisan to collect ballots. It's very, very difficult to supervise a process that involves that many people in that many locations. And I think it's not unreasonable for the legislature to decide, look, that's not the way that we're going to do this. We're going to do this in a way which has, you know, more appropriate safeguards. But absolutely. I mean, I have no problem with the legislature passing that type of law. But the thing is, and I know that this may sound technical and formal, but when it comes to elections, where, you know, people feel very, very strongly about the outcome. You know, every election cycle, you know, people are threatening to leave the country if the wrong person gets elected president. Now, they never do, but you know, this is just an indication of how strongly they feel about it. It's important that we have confidence in the outcome. And one of the ways in which we have confidence in the outcome is to have a set of rules, which are agreed upon beforehand, and we do, and then to follow those rules. That's how it ought to be done.
Rick, thank you as always for joining us.
Thank you.
Rick Essenberg, President and General Counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Up next news, then we hear an opponent's take on Enbridge Energy's Line 3 pipeline replacement project leading to Superior. Hundreds arrested during protests last month, more over the weekend. Do you support or oppose Line 3? You can join our conversation after the news, 1-800-642-1234, as we're joined by Paul DeMaine. I'm Lee Rayburn, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.